Greetings, family and friends, and welcome to the podcast today. This is Michelle with Mornings with Michelle and Healing Scriptures. I am sharing with you today the word that the Lord dropped in my heart, and it will speak to your heart even as it has spoken to my heart. It's going to come from the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to have a word of prayer now, and then we will listen to the word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this opportunity to call upon your name and to share the word of the Most High God. I ask you, Lord, that the word would be rich and edifying and strengthening and nourishing, and in every way that your people who hear are in need of healing or deliverance or victory or recovery or whatever they need, that this word today would speak to their heart and it would give them what they need. We will break bread together, and you will multiply so that the multitudes are fed. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, if I, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. I'm going to try to read straight through without any interruption. And then I'm going to share what the Lord is speaking to my heart. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 1, it says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for us and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. A useless nobody. Verse 3. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Verse 4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not ruled unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Verse 8. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Verse 9, for our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Verse 10. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. Verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. And I reasoned like a child. Now that I've become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. Verse 12. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. But when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Verse 13. And so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for us and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. I have read to you the entirety of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13 in the Amplified Bible. Once again, a word of prayer. Lord, we're breaking this word together. We're breaking this bread, this holy, holy bread that came down from heaven like holy manna. And it is that, oh God, it's our daily bread. As we receive this today, be glorified, be edified. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. Amen and amen. Today, I would like to talk to you about the greatest of these. The last portion of the final verse in 1 Corinthians 13. So that's 1 Corinthians 13, 13. The greatest of these. As we think about what's going on in society today, we look at the wars and the rumors of wars. We hear about the destruction in the land. We hear about the heartlessness among people. We are hearing about the protests across the nation on college campuses everywhere. We're seeing a revelation of the deep-seated evil in the heart of man. In fact, the heartlessness of man, the cruelty of man, the thing that is bereft in the spirit of man, who says that he loves God in many instances, who says that he is a follower of Christ in many instances, who says that he's a believer in many instances, who says that he's a Christian or a Jewish person or a Muslim or whatever their denominational may be, their denomination may be, whatever religion or faith or culture or belief system they have. There's so many world religions, so we're not talking about a particular religion following or belief system. We're looking at man, a religious people, a people that confesses and embraces some kind of moral compass in our world today. Or so they say. But in the midst of all of what we're looking at, we're seeing muck and mire and mayhem and destruction and vileness and pollution, hatred one for the other, spewing out all across the land. And we have to ask the question, where is the love? Where is the love? Where is that which the Bible talks about? In 1 Corinthians 13, I personally, whenever I need an answer, I have to find that answer in the oldest book given to man from God. The Holy Bible, the tried and true foundation of the faith of those who say they believe in a divine creator. Whatever the nature of their faith may be, they believe the Bible, at least in part, and embrace it, at least in part, and say they are a follower of the precepts that are written therein, the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and I could go on and on. And those religious people who say that they believe these laws, precepts, and commandments, no matter what their religious connection, because I'm not talking about religion, I'm asking the question, where is the love? Where is the love? I ask that question as I see the things that I see being presented over the news. People being murdered in the street. People's bodies being found, parts here and parts there. People disappearing and going missing and there's no word for them. So-called husbands being suspect in the disappearance of wives. Let me talk about that for just a minute, because the question today is, where is the love? As I picture the husband and the wife on that marriage day, not talking about anybody in particular, but everybody in particular and people in general who go to the altar. They exchange their vows, they're head over heels with this person, and they commit to a journey together, till death do us part. And all the honeymoon And oh, the honeymoon sex was wonderful. And those years or months or days were incredibly blissful. But something happens to the love. What happened to the love that you said would be eternal? And that was going to be there forever and forever because you committed that to the person and they committed that to you. Where is the love? Where is the love of that mother for that child, unborn child, that she looked for in great anticipation and spent so much money and time and energy preparing for the birth of the child? And that same mother abuses that child, and that child winds up in an early grave. Where's the love? Where's the love for that husband who betrothed that wife and took her in his arms and said, "Baby, I love you and I would give my life for you." But instead, he takes her life. Where is the love? Where is the love for a neighbor who is in distress and troubled and hurting and grieving and sorrowful? And the neighbor turns his or her head in the other direction and said, "That's not my problem. I've got my own problems to deal with." Where is the love? Where is the love for our children that are dying in the streets? They have fathers and mothers somewhere. They weren't wayward when they were born. Somebody came along and said, "Let's get together. Let's have a child. Let's love that child and raise him up." And they forgot about that child and turned him out into the streets. And now, because he was abused during his childhood and neglected and forsaken and allowed to be raised by the streets and become a victim of the streets, and he was exposed to alcohol and drugs in the home where parents said they wanted children and they had love, but instead they abused that child with their language. They abused and neglected that child, and they behaved in ways that were unseemly before that child, and that child became a victim and went on to live his life or her life as a victim. Where is the love? The child goes out in the streets looking for what they thought they were going to find in their home or should have found in their home, but it was not there. So they go to the streets looking for it, and they find an even worse situation where someone takes advantage of their naivete, their youth, drugs them and takes them into sex slavery and uses them until they use them up. Where is the love? Where is the love that one would take the life of an innocent person for their cell phone, for their purse, for their car? Where is the love? Where is the love that someone would beat someone to death for their earthly possession because they valued that earthly possession more than they valued human life? Where is the love? Where is the love? You say you have love. You say that you have the love of God, but you lack love for your fellow human being. Where is the love? What the world needs now is love. It does not need another car. You don't. It doesn't need another motorcycle. You don't. It doesn't need another pop star. You don't need that. It doesn't need another politician standing before you making bold promises that he can never fulfill or she can never back up with action. It doesn't need another political rising star. It doesn't need another knight in shining armor, another pop star that millions of people can throng the stage and take that person over their shoulders and parade them through the streets or whatever the case may be and saying, this is my hero. This is my idol. This is my God. No, the world doesn't need any of these things. What the world needs now is the God of the Bible. The God that brooded over the waters in the book of Genesis. The God who sent forth his Son into the world to redeem us from our sins. What the world needs now is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that chose a people for himself and has continued from that time to this day to choose people for himself and whose life he could show himself strong and reveal the glory and the person and the character of the true and living God, the righteous God of the whole universe, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who sent his Son to die for our sins, that we might be redeemed from the curse of sin and pay the penalty, which is death. Jesus died on that cross for our sins. If you believe that, if you look at the cross and you see what Jesus did, that it was for you, then you need to believe that Jesus, who took the penalty of sin for you, has the power to transform your life and make you brand new. It's springtime now. We see life coming in every direction from everywhere. And this year, the cicadas are returning after 17-year slumber, and some a 13-year slumber. And they are said to be making noise that sounds like the motor of a lawnmower. Very, very loud. Do you know why the noise is going to be so loud? It's because it's mating season. And that's what's going on in the land. People are mating. But they're not mating with God. They're not being intimate with God, because when you're intimate with God, you really get to know him. That's the knowing of God that the Bible speaks of. Then shall ye know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You will know him in a greater way. And when you know God like Abraham did, when you know God like Isaac did, when you know God like Sarah did, when you know God like David did, when you know God like Hannah did, when you know God like Esther did and Deborah did, when you know God like Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the prophets of old, when you come to know God in a personal and individual life way, because he has changed your life from the inside to the outside, and he has taken away that stony heart and put in a heart of love. The kind of love that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. the kind of love that never fails, verse 8 says, that never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. A kind of love that bears all things, verse 7 says, under any and every circumstance, it just bears the pressure and it forgives and it believes the best in every person and it hopes. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. It doesn't turn to evil. It doesn't turn to backbiting and backstabbing and murder. And it doesn't turn to crime. It turns to God and says, Lord, forgive me and help me that I overcome this temptation and resist this temptation to fall out of love for my brother or my sister and do her or him any harm. This love is not conceited. It's not arrogant. It's not inflated with pride. It's not rude. You're so rude. You walk in with that attitude. People speak to you and you can't even open up your mouth and say hello. You're so rude or unmannerly. And love doesn't act like that. It's not unbecoming. God's love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. I'm not feeling it. Just back away. It's not fretful or resentful. And it doesn't hold the past against you. Keep bringing it up and throwing it in your face and telling you, but you know what you did. I'll never forget what you did. It was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. 5 years ago. 20 years ago. It's holding account of the evil done. The unforgiveness is rotting away at their soul. Why is there so much sickness and disease in the land? People do not know how to forgive. And the resentment builds up and the anger builds up and it manifests itself in ways that people don't even know will happen. But they'll sit behind bars for the rest of their life trying to figure out what happened to the love. What happened to me? The love is gone. And what I did, I never thought I would have done, they're thinking. Where is the love? Where is the love? On this Sunday, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. And I say to you that even though you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and you don't have love, you're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if you can prophesy in the most glorious prophetic language, in the most eloquent tongues, and you have the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, and you understand all truths, secret truths and mysteries, and you possess all knowledge, if you don't have love, you're nothing. You're just a useless nobody. And you become like the many over the decades that have risen to the highest height and have fallen to the lowest lows. And I've seen a many. And even verse 3 says, if I dole out, I give everything I've got to the poor, providing food. There are people doing it, but their hearts are full of evil. They're behind the scenes and behind closed doors doing things that are incredible, inconceivable. The things that are going on in the world today, God could not pull back the covers like he did to the prophets of the old days and say, Son of man, do you see? Do you see what they're doing in the sanctuary? Do you see what they're doing? Oh, if you saw what was going on in the lives of people who say they have love, you would be shocked. You would lose all confidence in mankind. You would lose all confidence in ministry. You would lose all confidence in people in political positions. You would lose all confidence in people that have authority. You would lose all confidence in the various political, social, economic systems that we rely upon every day to live our lives. You would say, what's the use? The whole world is a mess. I'm going to go into my sealed house and just stay there until I die. But you better not come to that conclusion. You better turn to the Word of God so that you know what time we're living in. And when these things begin to come to pass, they will not catch you off guard. You won't be shocked. You won't be found in a place where you give up and quit, because Matthew 24 told us about what was to come. Just to name one scripture passage where you find that thing that God has already spoken of. And perilous times would come in the last days. I'm asking you, where is the love? Where is the love? We need that like we've never needed it before. Let me just reference Matthew 24 for just a moment. It says in Matthew 24, Matthew 24, beginning with verse 3, it says, Jesus, while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, the completion, the consummation of the age? Jesus answered them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah. And they will lead many astray. People, this is a time where there's so much false doctrine among us, and people are rising up, giving themselves titles, and they're leading many astray. Verse 6 in Matthew 24 says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. Here in Illinois, an earthquake that hadn't been 120 years since it happened before. I believe that's correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. Verse 8 says, all this is the beginning, the early pains of birth pains, of the intolerable anguish. We're living in a time of intolerable intolerable anguish. There is destruction like we have never seen before. There's heartlessness and anger and rage and violence and heartless execution of evil, man upon man. Verse 9 says, then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I'm going to jump down. Verse 10, it says, and many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Verse 11 says, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And the love of great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness of an iniquity. Verse 13, it says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. I want to focus on verse 11. It says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multitude lawlessness and iniquity. Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? The Bible tells us in verse 12, it has grown cold because of the multitude lawlessness and iniquity. Where is the love? People, where is the love? Ask yourself the question, where is the love? It's only in God, in the heart of God, and it's in your heart if you have opened up your heart to Him. If you have not opened up your heart to Him, I don't care how many religious services you attend. It makes no difference how many books on creative thinking you read. It makes no difference how much positive thinking you have. If you don't have the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, you don't have true and everlasting love that looks beyond the person and sees the soul that God created, which God said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Where's the love that sees our battle not as natural, that sees that person not as our enemy, but sees and discerns the spirit and enters into spiritual warfare because the battle belongs to God? Where is the love? Where is the love? As never before, in 2024, we need to walk in the spirit that we not submit to and do the deeds of our flesh. Walk in the spirit that we not fulfill the desires of our flesh. The flesh is alive. If you don't believe your flesh is alive, just put a hot coal to your tongue, which Ezekiel, I believe the prophet was Ezekiel that had to put it to his tongue. It may have been Jeremiah. I'm not looking at the scripture. You go look it up and you find out for yourself what the Old Testament prophets had to do and what they had to suffer to be vessels of God, to be used by God. It was not a happy life. And those who are on the altar today interceding in behalf of souls and crying out for nations and crying out for neighborhoods and communities and sons and daughters and children. It's not an easy life. It's a life of sacrifice, of humility. It's a life of giving, 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 and oftentimes receiving nothing in return. Oftentimes, no one even patting you on your back, telling you're doing a good job, or here's something to help you with that work you're doing. But because God has called the man or woman of God to do it, he or she has to rise up and get it done. Early in the morning, late into the night, whatever it takes, getting it done. And so you, as you listen to this word and the Spirit of God pricks your heart, God is pricking your heart right now. He's touching your heart and telling you to open up your heart so I can cleanse that stuff out of it. So I can eradicate the greed, the lust, the anger, the evil, the murder, all of that that proceeds out of the heart of man, evil thoughts. I want to take that out of your heart. And I want to give you a heart of love. I want to wash you in my blood, the blood of Jesus. I want to cleanse you from unrighteousness and sin. And I want to make you my son, my daughter. I want to put my Spirit in you and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in you to be your paraclete, to be by your side every day of your life, in your waking hours and while you sleep. I want to be with you forever. Will you open up your heart to him? Will you allow God, Jehovah God, Elohim, Jehovah Nissi, the God of the Old Testament and the New, the God of our forefathers, the God of your mother and my mother, your grandmother and great-grandmother, and my grandmother and great-grandmother and grandfather, the God of our heritage, the God that maybe our fathers did not know, but you know him. At least you say you do. But you're not walking with him and you're not serving him and you're not yielding to him. You're saved, but that's only down to your waist, down to the belt. After that, you can't touch this. And you hold your little pet peeves and your pet sins and you justify them and you say, God understands, I'm only human. Yes, he understands. He understands that it's appointed once unto man to die, and after death comes the judgment. And if you die in your sins, you will never see God in peace. And if you don't repent of your sins and invite Jesus to come into your heart, he's the only one that died, that shed his blood for your sins, who was prophesied concerning his coming throughout the Old Testament prophets. If you don't believe it, read the prophets for yourselves. Read the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53 and 5 tells the story of the one that we call Jesus. Born in Bethlehem, crucified, his spirit, his body so marred that you didn't even recognize him. Wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you're healed because you believe he took your sin, your sickness, your disease, your infirmity to the cross. And because of his blood he shed, you are healed and redeemed and set free by the power of God. Believe it today. Where is the love? There it is. It's on the cross. There it is. It's on the cross. It's pleading for you and pleading for me. The love is saying, I'm doing this for you. I'm shedding my blood for you. I'm crying out for nations. I'm crying out for those who stand around mocking me. I'm crying out for those who led me to this bloody place called Calvary. I'm shedding my blood that you might be cleansed. This is the love that you're looking for. The love that would die for you and go all the way to the cross so you didn't have to. Where is the love? It's now available to come into your heart and transform your life. And his name is Jesus. Will you open up your heart to him today? Will you be the change that your family needs? Will you be the change that your community needs? Will you be the change that your workplace needs? Will you be the change that your office needs? Open up your heart to Jesus and let him in. He will transform your life. He will save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He will deliver you from sickness and sin and disease and infirmity and everything that vexes your life. He will take it away as you yield it to him. He will work a miracle in your life today. I'm going to say a word of prayer in conclusion, and then I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And after you do, this is your day of salvation. Walk away and tell the world, I'm saved now. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm not a religious person. No, you don't have to call me any title. I'm just the son of God. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and God has come into my life. How do I know? Because I was looking for love. I was looking for it in all the wrong places. And I got abused and I got so hurt and depressed and despairing even of life. But love picked me up. Love found me. And love changed me and made me brand new. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me today to share with this people. I pray that the love of God would touch their hearts, would fill their souls, would transform their lives, that the love of your son, Jesus, that they would see that cross, and every time they see the glistening jewelry of the cross, they would see the Savior dying for you and dying for me and pleading for me, and their lives would be transformed because they open up their hearts to this love that they've been looking for. Father, do it today. Don't let one person walk away from this word untouched by the word of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the power of God. But transform each life, Lord Jesus. Fill them with your Spirit. Baptize and fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. And make them brand new to change the world that they live in, one person at a time. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen and amen. Now you say with me, Lord, I want that love. Say it. Lord, I want that love. Like the woman at the well, Lord, give me that water so I won't be thirsty again and won't come here to drink. Say, Lord, give me that love. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Deliver me. Give me that love that I've just heard about. I've been desperately seeking that love. Come into my heart. Come into my life and save my soul. And Father, I thank you for doing it. And today, I am now your son, your daughter. I will live for you and follow Jesus, my Savior, for the rest of my life. And I pray that you would help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Believe it, receive it, and this day is the beginning of the rest of your life. You are now born again of the Spirit of God, and you should be feeling the very presence of God, the weeping, the wailing that's going on in you right now, the humbleness that you feel now, the Spirit that you're feeling now, the Spirit of God upon you. That's the Lord. Just begin to worship Him and thank Him and praise Him and lift up the name of Jesus and give Him the glory. Praise God. And as you do so, the more you do, you will feel this love that I've been talking about. And when you finish this podcast, message, episode, share it with someone else. Share your testimony with someone else. If you feel like you don't have the strength to tell someone that would resist that, tell the Lord and ask the Lord to help you and to strengthen you in your walk with Christ. And take it one day at a time. Pick up your Bible and begin to read the Gospel of St. John from beginning to end, the book of Genesis from beginning to end, the Psalms from beginning to end. Wherever you start, it doesn't really matter, because that scarlet thread of redemption that shows where God is headed in His human story about man, His creation, it's pointing to the cross everywhere you look. It's pointing to our sin and our redemption everywhere you look. In the Old Testament, they had to bring a lamb, a ram, a turtle dove to the altar. These beasts had to be slain and the blood sprinkled on the altar, that their sins might be remitted. I've taken enough of your time. Share your testimony. Message me on the app. Message me on this podcast. You'll find there a place where you can do that. If you message me, I will respond. And I'm going to say goodbye for now. As I leave that question with you, where is the love? And to answer it, it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray that you found Him today. Amen and amen. This is Michelle saying goodbye for now. I love you, and I will talk to you real soon. Amen and amen.